Yes.
All right. That's Charlie. That is Charlie Mitchell, our phenology coordinator. Thanks for your time today and the reports.
Thanks for having me. See you soon.
See ya. Coming up, we'll have more. We've got Tornado Bob stopping by. We'll talk big weather. Scott Hall's going to be in as well, talking weather and asking questions of Bob. And I think Scott and I are going to talk a little bit about our heartbreak of the Minnesota Lynx over the weekend. Hope you're making it through. I'm trying my best to do that. They continue on. There's one more game. I don't even know when it is because it was a little bit of a heartbreak. But the Indiana Fever won over Las Vegas. They've got one more game to do. It's probably tonight, sometime this week. And then Phoenix Mercury will face whoever wins that game. So that's coming up, WNBA Finals. Increasing clouds for our day today with highs 72 to 79. Breezy southeast winds 5 to 15, gusting up to 20. Cloudy overnight with temperatures 55 to 62 degrees. We receive support from Lake Country Power, a Touchstone Energy cooperative serving more than 44,000 members in northern Minnesota. Lake Country Power, energy that powers our lives. You are listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids and 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. We are Northern Community Radio, people-powered radio that tells the stories of the people and the land of northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. With translator K210DR in Brainerd at 89.9, you can listen at KAXE.org or on your smart speaker. And you can keep us people-powered by supporting KAXE. Text the word DONATE now to 218-326-1234. Folks have been texting in this morning to talk about our album of the week. Not our album of the week, our question of the week, which is about grocery stores of our youth. And Mickey was listening in as Kyle wrote in about his memories of the Piggly Wiggly and the tubs and conveyor belt outside of it. Mickey says the Piggly Wiggly would occasionally have their mask on at the store, which I found both thrilling and terrifying. And note, terrifying is in all caps. But he or she handed out Tootsie Rolls, so it was probably worth the trauma. And lucky enough, we have a photo of the mascot. And Mickey, this looks exactly like your youngest son being held by this odd mascot. Mickey also says, I remember before products had barcodes and everything had to be rung up manually. And when certain foods like strawberries were seasonal and that you couldn't buy them all year long. What memories do you have? Is this sparking some stories for you? You can text in to 218-326-1234. Lisa was listening in to the phenology report and the student phenology. She said, I recommend that everyone should watch the documentary Fantastic Fungi. It's an amazing piece of work full of time-lapse photography. I was absolutely awestruck by the beauty and the information about the mushrooms that have a network across our planet. We heard from Paul, who is texting in about grocery stores. He said, good morning. As a child in Grand Rapids, I remember the many trips to the Red Owl on Saturdays, and then we stopped at Janicki's Bakery before heading home. Also, two of our favorites a few years later were Patoknik's in Aurora and Parlante's in Eveleth. They were always lines at the meat counter, but it was the smoky smells as you walked in that you can't forget. Thanks for your stories. You can keep them coming by texting 218-326-1234. We receive support from Beltrami Electric. They're building an all-of-the-above energy strategy that combines the diverse strengths of sun, wind, coal, and water. Beltrami Electric Cooperative, connecting communities, empowering life in northern Minnesota for more than 80 years. It's time now for our album of the week. This week, with her eighth solo album, it's Nico Case. It's her first one since 2018. This one's called Neon Gray Midnight Green, described as expansive and densely orchestrated. This is the first time she has fully self-produced an album, and she recorded it with a large group of her close friends, common collaborators, and a full orchestra. Case cements here her place as one of rock and roll's great lyricists, with a never-ending stream of vivid images, character sketches, and unexpected phrases that are simultaneously of this world, yet deeply mysterious and open to interpretation. We are going to hear now from Nico Case the song called Baby, I'm Not a Werewolf. It's our album of the week. Let us know what you think. 218-326-1234.
I listed sideways from my bed and threw my body down the hall. Forearmed the ledge I braced and smeared the steam to find my face. Imagine my confusion and my horror. The body said to me as if to another, baby, I'm not. My flanks are all bedazzled in a spray of rock salt haze. Indescribable filth and the fingernails remaining. I ate every story, I ate every myth. When I finished with the minotaur, I ate the labyrinth. I ate every story, my reflection, but baby, I'm not. Oh, baby, I'm not. Baby, I'm not.
Baby, I'm not a werewolf. That's Nico Case off the brand new album, and it is our album of the week. It is Neon Gray Midnight Green is the name of it, and it is full of delightful left turns with songs that suddenly shift tempos and moods and morph into something completely different. Let us know what you think. Text 218-326-1234. Some things going on in our region. The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, along with Cass and Crow Wing Soil and Water Conservation District, have a smart salting for roads certification course tomorrow, or a week from tomorrow, October 8th, from 8 to 1:30 in Bacchus. You can learn how to maintain safe roads while reducing environmental impacts. It's free with registration required by October 1st, which is tomorrow. Text KEXE for more information, 218-326-1234. To double check, I never remember the 30 or 31 days in our months. I'm Heidi Holton. Thanks for being with us today. We're going to be talking weather soon. Fire in the Village is hosting the Creative Crow Club the first Wednesday of each month, and that begins next Wednesday, October 1st, from 4 to 6 at Old Central School in Grand Rapids. Youth can explore their artistic gifts, find their voice, and build a caring community. Itasca County Public Health is offering a flu vaccine clinic this week on Thursday from 4 to 6 at the Itasca Resource Center in Grand Rapids for those with and without insurance. No appointments are necessary. And McCroskey Arts Center in Grand Rapids hosts an opening reception for the new exhibit, Unearthed, Friday, October 3rd from 4 to 7. Two-person mixed media show that is developed from foraged objects. You'll hear more about First Friday and events going on, arts events in our region. You can tune in this Friday morning at about 8:45. We'll welcome Katie Marshall into our studio. Our thanks this morning goes out to the Loft Event Center in downtown Bemidji. Yes, it is. Also, Scott Hall joins me in the studio now as I flip ahead here, Scott.
Hi.
Hi, welcome. Morning.
Thanks.
Okay, here we go. I want to thank the Loft Event Center in downtown Bemidji. They have a multi-purpose event space that accommodates groups of all sizes, up to 150 people for wedding receptions, business meetings, concerts, and more. Info about the Loft Event Center, rates and packages at BemidjiLodge.com.
You briefly lost the Loft Event Center.
I did. I sure did.
Glad you didn't lose them.
Yes. I'm just going to, you know, peel back the curtain a little bit here. Did not have my cell phone with me this morning. Usually, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think Tornado Bob's coming in. Have you connected with him at all about
not.
Weather? Okay.
No.
We're hoping he wasn't.
I have his number in my head if you want to call him.
We'll see. We've been asking folks about grocery stores of their youth and getting some great, great stories. We just heard from Bob who says, good morning, Heidi and Charlie. I remember A&P at the end of the checkout line was 8 o'clock coffee grinder. I've always loved the smell of fresh ground coffee. Thanks so much for the great show this morning. Andy from Brainerd says he worked at a grocery store stocking shelves. The razor blade box cutters were not kind to me. After numerous trips to get stitched up for the doctor told me might be time to look for another occupation. Love the store's atmosphere and imagine the cutters are much safer. Now, who knew, you know, when this kind of came up last week, Scott, as we were talking about a kind of a more serious story about what it means to lose independent grocery stores in small towns like Grigla and Cook and right. From a MinnPost reporter, it also spurred in us like what grocery stores have meant to us over the years, especially, yeah. Of course, our own Jennifer Barr, who worked in a grocery store and her mother did as well. But I'm assuming something's coming to light for you as well.
Well, you know, I heard Brenda talking about Sandy's and the Red Owl and Walker,
yeah.
Which I remember. Also, in Hackensack, there was Dode's. Did you ever know about Dode's?
No.
Dode's had a little grocery store in Hackensack, kind of on the main street across from the lake. And Dode, I think, and somebody from Hackensack, this is 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 70 years ago. I think Dode was the guy behind building Paul Bunyan's Sweetheart.
Oh, Lucette
Kensack.
Sure. Huh.
And she's still there. Dode isn't, and Dode's isn't still there. But
listen, there are some universal themes.
But, you know, I thought of Dode's when you guys last week were talking about food deserts because mm-hmm. we had to drive 21 miles to Walker to get to the grocery, but we could stop in at Dode's and Hackensack is only 10 miles.
And one of the things, like Kyle mentioned this earlier, someone mentioned it, that has changed immensely, even though now, as he said, it's funny how now we go and pick up. We do have the option to pick up groceries like it used to be where the tubs would come yes. out in the conveyor belt and then they'd put them in your car and stuff. And now we do it again. But used to be you'd plan for that one day a week that you grocery shopped. I mean, uh-huh. I remember that as a kid because it was the library in Brainerd first. And then the grocery store.
Oh, it's a routine.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it just certainly is not that kind of world anymore. You kind of just stop anytime you need something nowadays, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's our senior correspondent, Scott Hall. He's sitting in today for
feeling
John
very
Latimer.
Senior today. I had to wake up early.
Oh, well, you don't look a day older than when you retired.
That's, I would agree.
Put you that way.
Yeah.
I think keep it on a.
Might even look younger, oddly.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Because it's not as much stress on him. I'm the one looking older over here, right? Tornado Bob Kanzemius joins us for a talk on weather each and every Tuesday. And today I'm throwing at you Scott Hall. So
I think biking keeps you young.
Yeah, it does.
You bike a lot.
It does. So, yeah. Hey, but I've been thinking about you this week. I didn't know I was coming in until yesterday to see you. But two things.
Sure.
Let's start with the big weather, which is the hurricanes out on the East Coast. What's happening there?
Those look like they're going to go out to sea.
Really?
Humberto is a major hurricane, and that's the stronger one of the two. And mm-hmm. There was a bit of a bit of discussion about the sort of a Fujiwara effect. And it looks like Imelda is now a hurricane. So
that where's Imelda?
Imelda is closer to Florida. So Humberto is so if you take a line and draw it between Bermuda and looks like Melbourne, Florida.
Okay.
Like somewhere in the middle of the east coast of Florida. The two hurricanes are both right now, they're sort of on that line.
Hmm.
So
are they big?
They're, Humberto's bigger as far as I should pull up a satellite picture and take a look because I haven't looked yet today.
Okay.
But, it looks like Imelda is just a minimal hurricane. Actually, they're having it, I think they just barely upgraded it just recently to a hurricane the way it looks. Yesterday was a tropical storm. Looks like that's going to strengthen to about 100 miles per hour. In about 48 hours. And let's see here.
What about landfall?
They're going to be out to sea.
Oh.
Yeah, they're just, so Imelda is going to be the closest one, but they're both right now, they're kind of on a recurving trajectory already. And they're just going to be moving generally eastward over the Atlantic. Uh-huh. I guess if I were in Bermuda, I would work. I'd be worried about that, but I think they're fairly used to hurricanes. It seems like they get hit.
Yeah, and also, I thought they did them in alphabetical order, but Imelda and Humberto are not in alphabetical order. I like the names, though.
Yeah. Humberto, and I guess, you know, they run out of names eventually because they...
Because there's so many now.
Yeah, they're so... Well, they retire names. Oh. So, for example, Hurricane Bob, my own namesake... hit New England in, I think, 1991. And that was major enough that they retired the name. So, and like Hurricane Camille, don't see that. That was a big one.
And Katrina, like, is Katrina retired, you think?
Yeah, Katrina's, you won't see definitely another Katrina. It's retired. It was a big, like, Cat 5 before it hit the coast. And then it was, you know, a weekend, but the devastation in New Orleans related to the hurricane and the storm surge.
Okay, a couple weeks ago, there was one that really slammed the Philippines and east coast of China.
Oh, yes.
That was pretty bad, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was very, really strong category 5.
Okay.
And it went across the Hurricanes, or the Philippines, then into China. And I haven't heard that, I haven't looked that much into it.
Yeah, I haven't either. I just remember the warnings and that it was pretty bad. But Typhoon is an eastern hurricane?
Yeah, it's the same process atmospherically, but they call them typhoons.
Uh-huh.
When they cross over into the western Pacific.
Is hurricane season mostly over?
No. We're still, we're coming down off the peak of hurricane season, but... in the Atlantic, it typically goes into December. Quits like December 1st is it considered the official end of hurricane season. But that doesn't mean there have never been tropical systems in December.
Okay.
Once in a great while, you'll get one. But by then, the frequency of hurricanes and tropical systems decreases from this point onward. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, in the smaller big weather picture in my little world,
mm-hmm.
I can't believe till this morning, I think I hadn't seen a cloud in 3 days. This morning, we have this thin layer of kind of wispy clouds. The sun's, what's going on up there?
Well, this does seem to be, it seems to be somewhat common in September. I can't pick a particular reason for it other than that, sometimes in September you've seen a fair bit of fog. Fall as fall comes along, we get into our high humidity season, but we also have these periods of where we have upper level ridging, a little bit of warm air, wind is more from the southwest then from the south, bringing in not so much moist air, but they bring these southwesterly winds in, bring in some dry air, and we get upper level ridging, which means the jet stream kind of flows up from out of the Pacific Northwest up into Canada, and then it drops back down over the northeastern U.S. And that kind of gives us generally give us a few days of just clear skies. And I've seen that a fair bit in September. Mm-hmm. If you get a drier version of a September pattern, then it's just going to be sunny. Huh. And we have also weakening sunshine, not as much, days are not as long. You're not as likely to get these deep convective clouds in the late afternoon. Okay. So you see those sorts of things happening in September. And as the flow from west to east generally increases, the wind speeds and the jet stream start coming up again. Okay. Oftentimes at the surface, what you see associated with that is winds are coming more out of the southwest rather than the south. And
so 2025, I will remember, at least from like spring through last week, as a year of spectacular cloud displays.
Hmm, okay.
I've never, and I'm talking, just in Minnesota, I went down to Mankato and back one week. All the way, it was just these stunning cloud displays. Amid sunshine, too. It wasn't like rain, it wasn't okay. Heavy gray. You obviously haven't known. You don't think that's anything unusual.
I don't know. I'm always kind of looking, around at the clouds and see when there is something going interesting going on. I'm like, okay, that's an interesting, I don't know. It's a cumulonimbus cloud. a period last week, I saw just a set of interesting days a week or so ago when we had really light winds throughout the atmosphere, but still a fair bit of moisture. We'd have some fog in the morning, and then we'd have some rather, deep, some deep convective clouds, but they aren't big enough cumulus to generate much rain. Mm-hmm. But they're just kind of these large,
huge.
There were some showers around, but.
This year, my wife and I both said more time, like dozens of times, geez, I wish we could ask Bob about these clouds, because we've seen so many different variations of big, spectacular displays of a lot of verticals.
Yep,
too.
Large cumulus, kind of on the verge of cumulonimbus clouds. We had almost a full week of that stuff, but the winds weren't moving them along very fast, and they were just sort of, benign, but hanging out. Yeah, it was like that. It was just tall and beautiful, and we didn't have the Canadian wildfire smoke at the time either, so it was kind of nice to look at.
So this dry, warm September isn't that unusual, huh?
During La Niña, so we've got the phase of the tropical land ocean circulation in the Pacific, known as El Niño Southern Oscillation. So we're kind of getting into a cold phase of that. So the winds, the trade winds along the equator, blow a little more strongly. And we get more upwelling on the east side of the Pacific along the equator. And that gives us cooler than average water temperatures there. And that influences the atmosphere, has a feedback on the atmospheric circulation. And it's sort of a feedback loop. They sort of both reinforce each other. So if you get a La Nina going, it's likely to go for a few months. And conversely, if there's an El Nino, warmer water, the trade winds are weaker. Get warm water kind of moving back east. There's less upwelling. And that influences our weather as well. The last El Nino winter we had was the winter before last, when it was incredibly warm and we had almost record low, levels of snow. So generally El Nino gives us more often than not pretty mild weather. And La Nina can be a mix. It can give us some above average snowfall and somewhat stormier winters, or it may not. It may, that storm track may shift. If it happens to shift a little bit farther north during a La Nina winter, we can get some very warm weather. episodes of very warm weather in the La Nina winters. But if it stays south, then we have kind of a cold and snowy winter.
Okay.
Scott just mentioned Canadian wildfires. Are we going to be seeing any more of that? I think we asked you
smoke.
A month ago or so about smoke.
Yeah.
See some again this fall.
It looked like as the pattern was, we had a break from that at some upper level lows. Some storm systems move across Canada and brought some rain to those areas. And then also at the same time, sun, the days are not as long. The sun's not as high in the sky. So the drying effect of daytime, warm temperatures is diminished now. I think most of those fire, I haven't checked lately because I've just kind of forgotten about them. But it's they're mostly out. The fire season shifts more to, say, California now. As we come into October, that's kind of one of the peaks of their fire season, but their fire season's getting longer. And this year, kind of interestingly, they've had some rain recently. Had a couple upper level lows drop into the southwestern U.S. and give some California some somewhat untimely rain. They usually don't get any in September, but so this has maybe made it a little bit less. The conditions somewhat less favorable for wildfires than it might be the case otherwise. I've been on that doing that sort of stuff at work from time to time because working in the electric power industry, they're really worried about wildfires and what they can do to avoid or understand the risk.
Yeah,
from wildfires,
XL
from
Energy
transmission
just,
lines.
Settled a big claim. One of their power lines started a fire in Colorado this year. I can't remember. XL is in Colorado, Minnesota. I think they're based in Minnesota, but it's a big Midwestern utility. And I think they just settled a big, I don't know if it was a lawsuit, but they were able to prove one of their power lines did cause one of the bad fires this summer.
It's tough because if you get dry conditions and windy conditions as well. Remember the Lahaina fires of 2023. Those were associated with power lines.
Really?
And just grass. In that case, there's also some grass, non-native grasses and stuff that tend to grow a little bit. More, I guess, if there is rain, they become a little bit more lush, and then they dry out, and there's more burnable material on the line on the ground. And
so, how dry are we now?
We are a little bit dry, but not that bad. We've had off and on sort of average or a slightly above average precipitation in average. Kind of average during the winter. We had a month or two, like May into June or July, depending on where you are exactly, was a little bit above average. And then August dried out because I had like a tenth of our average rainfall in August. It was
really?
Like less, about a half inch or even like a third of an inch. And we should normally have like 4 inches in August or something close to that. So we're dropping back below average. And then September started out like it was going to be fine, but we're going to end pretty dry. Just over 2 inches in September, but we should be, somewhere around 3. So it's a little dry.
So these 70s and the low 80 temperatures we're having now, they are above the average, aren't they? I mean, this is warmer than usual.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we should be back down into the 60s this time of year. And then as October goes along, we should be dropping into the 50s.
For highs?
Yeah, for highs.
Oh.
Certainly not at the beginning of the month, but, so we're definitely, pretty warm and it's going to stay that way. I don't see a definite end to this warm pattern. So, and this is going to delay if you haven't had a frost yet, don't count on it very soon because, the pattern looks continued warm. Although some of the models do show like some cold air kind of just sneaks in. And in fact, yesterday, last week, we had one morning late in the week where some of the areas north of us, must have been Friday morning, I think, some cooler, drier air just kind of snuck in, and it was dry enough that some stations like International Falls or Cook dropped down to about 32.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, maybe 31. So that can happen.
We've been getting reports this morning from folks who are seeing lilacs blooming.
Oh, my gosh.
And are very worried, and not the first year that has happened, but...
Maybe one of those things about lilacs that if you get a warm spell in the fall, then maybe they can bloom again.
Yeah.
And finally, color report?
It looks, you see them. I look once in a while at the state maps the DNR produces, and I don't know. It looks like they're at peak right now, or pretty close to it. I was starting to get a little bit disappointed. We had such an early cold snap. It looked like, oh, we're going to have a cold September now instead of another warm one. So we had last week in August had a little bit of a shot of cooler air. And the first week of September, early September, had a nice shot of cooler air, and we were really close to, I got to 37 at my house in town. And that's kind of got the ball rolling on the fall colors a little bit early. But then since then, it's been just warm, but the colors have continued because
it's fall.
Things got started. It's fall. The light is decreasing. And some of the maples in my neighborhood started to drop. They turned a little bit and then started to drop their leaves. So I was initially kind of disappointed. Like, this might not be a great fall color year, but it's hanging in there. It's doing,
it's my
pretty well now.
About one of my favorite times of year, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go tootling around on your bike and see things pretty.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Well, thank you, Bob. Thanks for coming in. Scott, thanks for sitting in for John Latimer. He's off hiking.
I know.
California.
Yeah, I saw John. John and I went to a Twins game a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
I got the full preview of his trip to California.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a question, weather question, you want us to pass along to Bob, you can text us in 218-326-1234. We're still getting a lot of people texting in about our question of the week about grocery stores, what you remember from your youth of your grocery stores. Lisa says there was the Benedict store near the cabin of my youth. They had a bit of everything, but my memories lean towards Shasta Pop and the myriad of penny candy choices. My favorites were Sixlets and those tricolored coconut squares. Beth from Aurora says, we had local co-ops in our small communities. There was one in Palo, Markham, and Mackinac where our family would go. I think they gradually disappeared starting in the 70s. They had everything from groceries, a meat counter, clothing, gift items, toys, hardware, and farm supplies. It seems amazing now to think of what they had for our communities. And I remember the creaking wooden floors and the amazing smell, along with the sounds of grown-ups visiting. Because our community was mainly of Finnish origin, there's a lot of conversation that took place in the Finnish language. As kids, we could hop on our bikes and go to the closest store to get penny candy or ice cream on a hot day.
Wow, that's a great, great roundup of a community store.
Thanks, Beth.
Benedict's store also had a good bowling team back in the day.
Uh-huh, there you go. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Local news coming up next.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. The Virginia Fire Department rescued two men after their falls down a 100-foot cliff Saturday. In a news release, the fire department says they responded to the Mesabi Bike Trail access in Virginia around 4:30 that afternoon and heard two men calling for help from a mine pit. One man was about 50 feet down, clinging to a cliff, and the other was about 100 feet down at the water's edge with reported injuries. Rescuers rappelled down the cliffside to reach the two men, with the first able to climb out with assistance. The second man was evacuated from the mine pit via boat and transported to Essentia Health Virginia for treatment of minor injuries. Multiple Minnesota outlets are reporting more possible fraud within the state's Department of Human Services. In a letter to state lawmakers, WCCO and the STRIB report that temporary DHS Commissioner Shireen Gandhi described stopping payments to 11 disability service providers earlier in September. The stop payments also impacted an additional 17 providers affiliated with the Integrated Community Supports Program. This is a Medicaid service that provides training and help to adults with disabilities who live in a provider-controlled setting, such as providing opportunities for community participation, health, safety, and wellness, household management, or adaptive skills. Gandhi described the program as filling the gap between a person living in their own home and more restrictive settings, such as a group home or assisted living. The fraud allegations accused these providers of billing the state for services that were not provided. The move to suspend payments comes amid a backdrop of numerous federal investigations into the department, recently with suspected fraud within the Housing Stabilization Services Program, as well as the massive and still unfolding Feeding Our Future scandal. Northern Township is presenting its case to become a city this week during the first days of a two-week administrative trial. Northern Township is seeking to firm up its boundary against any further annexation by its nearest neighbor, the city of Bemidji. It plans to construct a new multi-million dollar wastewater treatment facility, securing nearly half of the cost with federal grant dollars and covering the rest with additional assessments on the property taxes of connected households. The township is also pursuing additional funds to cover the infrastructure through state bonding dollars, having been included on a 2023 bonding bill that never made it to the finish line. Next week, Bemidji will present its case to annex around Lake Bemidji. The city says it can get sewer and water around the lake connected to its already established systems at a lower connection cost to its ratepayers. The trial in Northern Township will take place all day Monday through Friday at its town hall, with a public hearing scheduled for 6 p.m. Tuesday at the Beltrami County Fairgrounds 4-H building. The trial in Bemidji will also be multiple days at City Hall next week, with a public hearing slated for 6 p.m. Wednesday, October 8th at the Sanford Event Center. State and federal agencies are working on a joint effort in the Chippewa National Forest to slow down the spread of emerald ash borer. The effort throughout September has involved the release of three species of non-stinging wasps to target the invasive borer at different life stages. The wasps are small and do not harm humans, and the USDA says it has tested to ensure the wasps won't impact other species in the forest. More than 5,000 were released into 200 acres of infested areas of the Chippewa National Forest this year, with nearly 4,000 released last summer. The state's Ag Department began releasing these types of wasps in 2010 to slow the spread of emerald ash borer, with the wasps released into 55 infested sites since. EAB was first detected in Minnesota in 2009 and is a growing concern of forest health experts, as Minnesota is home to an estimated 1 billion ash trees. Resurfacing of Highway 64 between Akeley and LaPorte began Monday. MnDOT says construction crews will resurface the highway using a micro mill and thin lay process, which will provide a smoother ride for drivers. Work is expected to be complete mid-October, weather permitting. Motorists can expect flagger and pilot car operations. That's it for the Up North Report. Find more of our stories at KAXE.org, where you can also find content from our music, morning show, and Phenology teams. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is sponsored by Woodland Bank, with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River, dedicated to serving the financial needs of the community and their customers. More info at woodland.bank.
Local news, the Up North Report. You can sign up for a podcast of it. Find links on the podcast platforms that you use. Just search for Up North Report. I'm Heidi Holton with Scott Hall this morning. Thanks so much for tuning in. Support comes from Grand Itasca Clinic and Hospital. They're home to an experienced OBGYN team providing comprehensive women's health services, including maternity and advanced gynecology care, all in Grand Rapids. Learn more at granditasca.org. And thanks to Rapids Brewing Company. They're a place for gathering and community, featuring live music multiple times a week, farm fresh food, and rotating beers from their own brew house. More information about their events, music, and menu available at rapidsbrewingco.com.
Hey, I want to put in a quick plug for the Up North Report.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, on a Thursday, Megan Buffington did a tour de force report on the sulfate issue in mining.
Yes.
And it's by far the best non-print coverage of that issue I have heard.
Well, you've got to read the digital story as well.
Yes,
that is,
I believe it,
by far the best of print journalism of it as well.
Good job, Megan, and good job, Clarissa, yeah, and Chelsea. They're doing great.
You know, they've been racking up awards. We got a local Edward R. Murrow Award for journalism. There's been so many awards coming in. And the station in general won the Amper's Station of the Year award recently. So not that we usually are great at tooting our own horn, but I will toot our news team any
toot
day.
Toot away, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
All right. Don't forget, anytime's a good time to become a member of Northern Community Radio. I've only been a member since 1976.
Oh, Scott.
So...
Hey, did you know that, you know, since we lost all federal funding, as did every other public radio, public television station in the nation, when that crisis happened, our listeners, I'm sure you're not surprised that listeners came through, but as of now, we've raised over $170,000.
Wow.
And every day we hear from more people that understand that KXC needs to stay here. We need to make it to our 50th birthday and beyond. And that, you know, those pledges of support, not only like, will that $1,000 that you might be able to donate help, but it also helps us go to find some new funding sources, because that's what they want. They want to know that people are behind you. They don't want to just, you know, assume that you're great. And so I can't thank you enough for helping us do that. You can, if you didn't get a chance to, I've heard from lots of folks who kind of weren't around at that time or weren't able to do it then, you can donate anytime by texting the word donate to 218-326-1234. We've got Kleenex between the two of us here, Scott. I think it's maybe the time to do some crying on air about the Minnesota Lynx and the weekend itself. I was looking forward to, in this world we're living in, if like this has been my bright light, the Minnesota Lynx. Friday night, I can't believe watching Coach Reeve.
Oh, wow.
Two technicals, a suspension, thrown out and screaming at fans even, because they were screaming at her. Four people having to hold her back from the referees.
Did you see her press conference afterwards?
I sure did, yeah. So that kind of started it. And then I didn't realize how much it affected me over the weekend, because I just thought there's no way. Right, mm-hmm, that they're going to be able to come back from this. But then the game on Sunday, man, they played really well.
All three of their losses, they had a chance to.
Yeah. So
they were leading in the fourth quarter on all three losses. You know, Phoenix played great defense, number one.
Yeah.
And they couldn't, by the way, you know I'm a big Kayla McBride fan.
Yes.
They finally got her the ball in the last game because.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, with a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter in the last game, if they had had Collier, it would have changed the tone of their offense.
Mm-hmm. Carrington as well. I mean,
well, yeah, but they didn't have Carrington for last month, so
yeah,
we couldn't complain too much about that. But I just thought it took it. Shepherd had a good first period in the game, the final game. But she couldn't sustain it because she doesn't have a great. She has a good inside game, not a great inside game. And mm-hmm. Shepherd and a Canadian
Carlton
hit a couple of big threes.
Yeah,
but both of them play excellent defense. But
right,
they,
but they're not usually doing
plus,
much in offense.
Plus,
you know?
If you watch, I enjoy watching Collier play defense as much as offense,
mm-hmm,
because she sees the court on defense and is always in the right place. And I think she would have made a difference in the fourth quarter defensively the other night.
Yeah. You know, it was so interesting to see them come out on Sunday night doing things they have never seen them do, where you'd see Kayla McBride running after Alyssa Thomas, who is an amazing player and so fierce, but running after her as she's heading down, you know, for a fast break and popping the basketball out of her to another Lynx player and getting a turnover and coming mm-hmm. back. I've never seen them do that. And it wasn't just one of them. I mean, they were stealing the ball. They haven't been doing a lot of that in this season. They were getting turnovers or able to steal the ball sometimes, but there was an aggression there that was exciting and is exciting for the future. I mean, but you just feel for them, you know, because I guess I just felt like I was probably a little too confident going into this because their season.
Well,
and
you
once
know,
again, you know,
the league, the Lynx set the tone for the whole league this
year.
Yes,
yes.
And every team knew they had to play their best if they were going to be in the game against the Lynx.
Right.
Then teams like Indiana, the 11 losses they had? I don't know how many losses they had.
Yeah.
You could see there was a pattern developing how to stop the Lynx offensively. And mm-hmm. If you didn't bring your best defense against the Lynx every night, you were going to get killed.
This is why I reach out to you, Scott. You make me feel better about this.
Well, I was going to say the Lynx have this pattern of starting their offense as soon as they're over midcourt. Everybody's moving. The ball is moving.
Yeah.
And what they were doing is they were picking up the Lynx high and preventing them from getting into any offensive flow as quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
they were running down their shot clock. And you got to hand this is Alyssa Thomas. She's a wonderful passer. She is.
Yes.
You know, she's their playmaker, even though she's not a guard in the true sense. And I was really impressed with how well she passed the ball.
Courtney Williams had a great night.
I mean, oh my gosh.
Courtney. She has stepped up for the team, and Tisha Heidemann was also playing much better on that night. So going forward, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to watch the games. I should because I've gotten to know so many players, but
yeah.
I'm a little heartbroken. But I would love to see Indiana beat Las Vegas.
Would you?
Oh, my. And to see Indiana play Phoenix Mercury, I think would be a great final.
I think it'd be good for the league.
Yeah.
Las Vegas, of course, Las Vegas didn't win last year, but.
Right.
But they've been so good.
And there's so much scuttlebutt online, you know, we're not going to finish hearing about the WNBA because they're working on their contracts.
Uh-huh.
Unrivaled is getting hooked up. They're already putting out hints at what the season of Unrivaled is. That'll start in January. I loved that 3-on-3 basketball last year. Some of the hints, though, they're not going to be in Florida, it sounds like. I saw they had a little thing of look like Seattle and it looked like Minnesota. Hmm. Like they might be doing some other things. So more players have signed up for that, including Paige Beckers. You'll see Alyssa Thomas and Nafisha Collier, all of these great players, and really an interesting switch. I didn't think I would like it, and I really did. And then by the time we started the WNBA season in the late spring, I was like, what kind of basketball is this? Like, I'm so used to seeing this 3-on-3, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's a great way for fans, and also just for the livelihood and the health of the WNBA players. For them, they get paid more to be an Unrivaled than they do in the WNBA. It's player-owned league, and they also do not have to then uproot their families and go over to Europe and do this and face some difficult conditions, as of course Brittany Griner did. And so I think it's really good. There'll be lots more women's basketball out there, right? What do you think? I've changed in the last 5 years, haven't I?
Well, you still can't dunk.
No. No, they called me Brick for a reason in sixth grade basketball. So
all right.
I'd get a fast break, fast in quotes for me, and then get to the halfway mark and try to shoot. And did not work at all. So
all right.
Thank you. Thanks for making me feel better. Thanks for stopping by.
Oh, yeah. We'll continue to commiserate. Okay?
Enjoy the trail or the biking today. I'm sure you'll be going out.
Oh, you know, this is my favorite time to ride because you're out to Sugar Hills or Tioga and the colors are so, they just kind of, if you're on a bicycle and not going too fast, they just kind of give you a big hug.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
So you're not feeling, I've been hearing a lot of people complaining that it's not very much color this year, but.
I think it's down.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, and I think to me it's the dryness and the I don't know, just
yeah.
All right.
Thanks, Scott.
Yep.
Coming up, we've got some new music from Brandi Carlile. Support comes from the Timberlake Restaurant in Grand Rapids. They feature Martini Monday each week, 5 to 8, offering guests martinis and menu items like chicken Kiev, a Reuben, or fettuccine Alfredo. The dinner menu and additional information are available at Timberlake Lodge Hotel. Coming up at 9 o'clock, we bring you Headwaters. Our host today is Malachi Coons.
Ah!
Is there some freewheeling watcher shooting marbles in the sky, holding your ears between their fingers, watching it burn till the fire dies? Why is it heroic to untether? How is a lonesome holy grail? And if we really come and go unknown, couldn't I find myself in jail? Oh, keeper, how I love you. I love you and you and you. And returning to myself is such a lonely thing to do. But it's the only thing to do. Is it evolving, turning inward? Oh, what an easy way to be. Only kneeling at the altar of the great and mighty me. Let me break myself apart. Instead and scatter to my birds like a burial at sea. To be the gospel without words. Oh, my darlings, how I love you. I love you and you and you. And returning to myself is such a lonely thing to do. But it's the only thing to do. There's no honor in the pilgrimage until a soul returns to hold another's hand, and then, and only then, it learns that life is like a stone, only skipping for a time. It'll never see the other side. And I was born to love you. I love you and you and you. Oh, returning to myself is such a lonely thing to do. Returning to myself is just returning me. That's the only thing I want to do.
New music from Brandi Carlile. The song is called Returning to Myself. Thanks so much for tuning in. It is the Tuesday morning show. Coming up, music on Headwaters. Malachi Coons is going to be your host. Let's take a look at what our weather's up to for today. We've got a story coming up from Morning Edition about how braces are now cool. Stay tuned for that story. And we're continuing to get stories coming in about grocery stores. And we love hearing from you. You can text us at 218-326-1234. We're expecting increasing clouds today, 72 to 79. Lots of wind, breezy, 5 to 15, but gusting up to 20. Cloudy tonight, temperatures 55 to 62 across northern Minnesota. We receive support from Northland Foundation, working with Northeast Minnesota, offering grants, small business supports, and programs to help people and communities working toward a future where everyone feels they belong and can thrive. More at northlandfdn.org. Here's more from Morning Edition.
Okay, let's face it. Braces get a bad rap in pop culture.
I'm also afraid little Lisa is going to need braces.
Oh, no. I'll be socially unpopular. More so.
Lisa Simpson had to choose between ugly teeth or ugly braces.
Cool. She'll be a freak.
But over the summer, the American Association of Orthodontists declared that braces have never been cooler. The group's president-elect, Dr. Mike Durbin, says patients are embracing braces.
I had a patient, she came in, she had the whole 18 months of treatment plotted out in terms of what colors she was going to get depending on the time of the year or what holiday was coming up, saying, I want people to know that I have these braces on.
Now, to learn more, I spoke with a real expert. Do you know who this is, by the way? I want to make sure that you know who you're talking to.
Yes, my grandpa.
That's right. That's my 11-year-old granddaughter, Emiko Hayashi Terrazas. Why did you want to get metal braces?
Because, like, all over the internet, other people have braces, and we all, like, just thought it was, like, cool. So that's why we all wanted it really badly.
What about it was cool?
Like, every time my braces get fixed, we could choose any color we really want.
You know how they have invisible braces or clear braces? Oh, mm-hmm. Why didn't you want to get those instead of the metal braces?
Because I wanted the braces to be seen more.
Dr. Durbin says braces have come a long way.
They were much larger on your tooth than they are now, and they went around every tooth, whereas now small brackets are just glued or bonded to the front of the tooth. So less noticeable, but at the same time allow you to have the colors and even different shapes. We didn't have that back when I had braces.
Emiko, what did they say when you showed up to school on the first day with your brand new braces?
They all thought that it was, like, cool and it looks, like, nice. That's what they said.
But all good things must come to an end, and Emiko's braces eventually had to come off. Do you miss the metal braces?
Yeah.
You do? Why do you miss them?
I just still think they're cool.
Well, I think she's always been cool.
I spent 4 years in braces, Michelle, not feeling cool 1 second of those 4 years.
You've always been cool, too. Yeah. Embrace it. Embrace it. Embrace it. This is NPR News.
What do you think? Are braces cool now? Were they cool when you were a kid? My best friend in throughout my life, when she was in junior high, had to wear the headgear. And for her, that was definitely not cool. We'd love to hear from you this morning. You can text 218-326-1234. Krista got through it, though, and became very, very cool. So good to hear these stories and how times are changing. We are collecting stories about grocery stores and so many people weighing in. Really fun stories to hear about. Trips to the grocery store, the small town grocery stores where they are. Earlier this morning, we heard from Leanne from the Brainerd area, and she sent in a wonderful photo of a chicken fat mushroom that she found in Fritz Loven Park, and a lot of mushrooms out there. We learned a lot this morning with our phenology coordinator, Charlie Mitchell, on what to be looking for. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Some of the things going on in our region, Kutaska Community Action continues to collect gently used kids' Halloween costumes. That's until October 15th. You can drop them off at the former Murphy Elementary building from 9 to 4. And Minnesota Department of Transportation has an open house today from 4 to 6 o'clock at Park Rapids City Hall. Learn about the Highway 71 corridor study. There'll not be a formal presentation, so you may come and go as you wish. Friends of the Brainerd Public Library have their big fall book sale. That's going on October 1st through the 3rd. It's at the Westgate Mall from 10 to 6 each day. And also happening, Virginia Public Library continues their genealogy assistance program the second Thursday of the month at 4 p.m. Whether you're starting out or want to fine-tune your research, all are welcome to this. This Friday, Kristen Anderson will be part of the Watermark Arts Center in Bemidji as in her exhibit called Refugia, the Seasonal Pond Project. And the open house is from 5 to 7. There'll be tapestries accompanied by words from two local poets. Anderson will give a brief presentation at 5:30. We'll tell you more about First Friday events coming up. Tune in this Friday morning, and you can hear a lot more. Don't forget, we want to hear what you are seeing, what is going on in your community. You can text us at 218-326-1234. We receive support from Minnesota Power, an elite company powering the region's homes, businesses, and industries since 1923.